One of the hottest trends that school administrators will be considering this summer are learning management systems. Sally and I will be discussing one of the newest ones called Schoology. All that and more coming up next. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, Wells Tech Podcast, episode 242 for Wednesday, June 27th, 2012. And joining me, as usual, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally. How are you?
I'm great, Martin. Good morning to you. It feels kind of like afternoon around here at the Draper household, though. I was up at 4, got two of my guys on the road to the Wells International Youth Rally.
Awesome.
So in Knoxville. They left at 5. Yep.
I wonder if they're going to get that heat wave down there, too, like you're going to get tomorrow.
Yeah, I told them to pack a bunch of shorts, because one of my friends in Mississippi said it was 102 yesterday.
Beautiful.
On Facebook. So
yeah,
warm.
And even here in Wisconsin, we might touch 100, they're saying. So, and those international youth rallies don't always, sometimes, I don't know, are they in a dorm? Sometimes they're in dorms.
Yeah, I think they are on the University of Tennessee campus. I'm not sure
sometimes
about what kind of accommodations.
Dorms don't have air conditioning. So.
I don't know. This is the South. Hopefully they're in an air-conditioned dorm. Usually, yeah.
Yeah, so.
The South air conditions things, the North heats things, so.
That's true. That is true. So I hope they have a blessed time. Those are unique experiences. When I was growing up, I was not in Wells. I was in the Missouri Synod, so we didn't, and maybe Missouri had youth rallies, but I didn't, wasn't able to attend any. But two of my kids have attended youth rallies, and boy, they've come home with great, great stories and great experiences.
Well, I think that the rally will be a great experience. I'm not sure about the all day, all night, all day tomorrow bus ride to the rally. But
oh, man.
We'll see. Wow. They're going pretty much nonstop. They're stopping in Kentucky to see the Creation Evidence Museum.
I've heard about that, too. I've never visited. Have you been there?
Yeah. No, and so I'm anxious to see lots of photos of that.
I've heard lots of people come back and say, you got to go, you got to go. But I've never been able to do that. So, cool. Sounds like a great time. A couple gold stars to Kevin for for spending the weekend with teenagers.
It should be interesting. Interesting. I'm sure there'll be a lot of those pastor types there. So.
Oh, yeah.
Fun stuff.
They'll have a good time. So we are continuing our series on, what are we calling, the Summer Software Showcase, the SSS. And I'm having fun so far. We really just take this downtime over the summer to focus just on one topic. We abbreviate the rest of the show just to throw in our community feedback and picks of the week. But everything else, we pitch to the side of the road for the summer and just focus on one, either software product or service, something like that. And this week, we are focusing on a learning management system called Schoology. We've had Schoology conversations on the show in the past. I know we've even Gail interviewed somebody who was real big into Schoology and gave us a nice insight into how she uses it in her school and school district. And Schoology is in use by different people in our synod, so we felt maybe it's worth considering. And we recognize that there are lots of options out here in the learning management system space, not to mention PowerSchool, which is one that our synod offers, but Schoology is another one. Edmodo is another one. It seems like they're popping up all over the place. Moodle is an open source one we've talked about in the past. We decided on Schoology, I think, for a couple reasons. One, it's easy to use. I guess that would be my first impression. How about you, Sally?
Yeah, I think that it's easy to use, particularly because of the user interface. And it's an interface that most people are familiar with because it's patterned very much after Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, and that's probably another plus there that
right,
people
that was
like that
point.
Environment. Mm-hmm. They're used to the Facebook kind of interface, and that's really what they've kind of built off of.
Right, right. And we've played around with it a little bit. I can't say that I have a lot of firsthand experience other than, you know, listen to other people who've used it. But in my walkthroughs, it's really straightforward, and it seems to me that a teacher could jump in and without much instruction, start posting assignments, receiving assignments, participating in discussions, doing tests, quizzes, providing resources, links, tracking student usage, communicating. I think you can communicate with parents as well. All of that's kind of baked into most learning management systems, but it's really just you just dig around a little bit and you figure it out.
Right. And the way to get started is to create an account for your school. If your school isn't set up on Schoology yet, then it just takes one person setting up that initial account. And then once you do, then you can make other people administrative or teacher kind of mm-hmm. leads within the system for your particular school. And all of that is free, so you can't argue with the price tag. Yep. They do have a professional or a higher level version that has some fees associated, and you have to actually contact Schoology and request a quote for your school district to get that information.
Yeah, that's really mostly if you're on the school district level, but I would mm-hmm. think for my impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sally, my impression is that the free version would meet the needs of most of our elementary schools for sure.
Absolutely. You can track grades in there. One thing with the pay-for version is that you can actually generate your report cards from there. So, you know, there's a few trade-offs, but I think mm-hmm. very, very robust for, especially if people are just getting started with online course management. Why not try this coming school year, try it with Schoology just at a real basic level and see where it leads you.
Yeah, I think you could set it up real easily. The way you do it is you set up the account, which is for the school, but then each teacher can run a class. So mm-hmm. you've got a number of courses, and those courses have members or students, and then the assets for the courses are really restricted to that. So the student really only sees the courses that apply to them, and they join the course or get online with, and you can create an access code. Each course comes with an access code. You go online, you get to the course, and one of the first things you see is the activity, and this gets back to that Facebook style where you kind of see the wall or the feed of all the activities. You can see when a teacher has said something, has posted something, when another student has said something, posted something. All of that is in there. That front screen view, it has its own messaging system, so you really don't even need to use an external email approach. It's all kind of contained within the system, so it's protected, so to speak, from the outside world. It can be moderated, all kinds of things that allow for that that classroom to really bond together. There's even little subgroups that you can create. So if you've got a study group or a group project, you can create a little side course or side group for that where they can interact and the resources can stay just within that group and doesn't have to litter the entire course itself.
You could do that for your faculty as well, Martin, so that mm-hmm. Your faculty could collaborate on the platform too. And one more thing worth mentioning is that each unique student gets a parent code, which means the parents can log in and track everything that the students are doing within the course, mm-hmm. see their grades, view their conversations, all that kind of stuff.
Yep. And in any Web 2.0 in true Web 2.0 mm-hmm. fashion, we have mobile apps. So there's an iOS app, there's an Android app. You tried it out on your iPad and you pulled up the entire course and could participate right from your iPad, right?
That's right. I was pretty much free reign. Mm-hmm. Anything that I could do as a student in the course I could do on the mobile app as well. Mm-hmm. So very slick, sure. Nice interface.
So we should probably jump down to our ministry uses. That's one of the features of this particular topic, and our approach to it is to make sure that we have very specific, in this case, 5 ministry uses. And of course, the first one is easy, the elementary classroom. You manage the entire course. It kind of is in that Google Apps space, but it's obviously more focused than that. Google Apps can provide a lot broader services, but this is really does some of the extra junk out of the way and says this is all you need for a learning management system and puts it right in front of you. So it's very structured, gives that parent access. It's very easy for a student to know how to submit an assignment. There's a Dropbox there. It does, interestingly enough, integrate with Google Docs, so that if you want to keep Docs there, you can move Docs back and forth between the two. So,
and it's neat that you said elementary classroom. That means it's easy enough for kids to pick up on. I would say it would be very useful in a high school classroom setting as mm-hmm. well. It's pretty robust.
Yep. What's our second ministry use?
Number 2 on our list is catechism class.
Sure.
So if you're running a catechism class and you want to have discussion throughout the week, this would be a good platform to do that. Obviously, share files, all those same kind of functionalities that we just discussed for a traditional classroom would certainly apply in a catechism setting as well.
Okay. Third one is online Bible study. So this could be not just kids, but adults. Anything that you want to put online, you can do it in such a structured way that you can provide materials, have discussion boards, even do small quizzes, those kinds of things, images, links, all those that you would do with an online Bible study. Those are all available in this course too.
Fourth, we want to list study and faculty groups. We made mention of the smaller groups that you can have as an offset of the traditional classroom setting. And, one example might be that your faculty is going through a curriculum review process, and this would be a good way for you to collaborate and discuss things without always having to meet face-to-face for those discussions.
Yep, great. And the last one, it kind of plays off of the first couple, communications, school communication. So the teacher to student to parent communication channels there. It's got an entire self-contained messaging system. Just a good way to stay in touch, even if you don't use some of the other features. It's a good way to connect everybody in an intranet kind of a setting. So lots of ministry uses and very impressive. I know that Edmodo has a lot of the similar features. So, rather than jump right in, you may want to look at the features that are available in all of these LMSs out there, and there are many more coming on the market all the time. But if you're interested in just getting your toe wet, it's really easy to do that, and it doesn't cost you anything just to give it a go.
Time for some picks of the week.
Shall we? Go right ahead.
All right. I am going to pick an online photo editor, and surprise, surprise, it isn't PicMonkey.
No.
Not that it's knocking
PicMonkey
off of the top of the heap that I always defer to it, but this one has some different features, and it's called Pixlr. It's PIXLR. Mm-hmm. Perhaps we've discussed it on the show in the past. Doing a podcast for over 4 years means that we talked about a lot of things in the past. So,
oh, yeah. Most of
forgive
which
me
I've
if you've
forgotten.
Heard it from me before, but I see this Pixlr editor filling a niche that PicMonkey doesn't do, and that is the ability to edit images with layers.
Layers, yeah.
So kind of a notch above the Photoshop type mentality, so that you can have multiple layers and stack things and turn things on and off within the layers as you would be able to do in a Photoshop more expensive or downloaded software. This is a Web 2.0 app, so right there at Pixlr.com, you can make use of that kind of editing ability on the fly. So if you're stuck somewhere and need to do some layered image editing, this one is a good one to have in your toolbox. And just as an added bonus, they have another tool called Pixlr-O-Matic. I'll include a link to that in the show notes as well, which is kind of like an online Instagram kind of app. So it basically adds fun and easy filters to your photos or images and allows you to save them and share them from the website. There's also iOS and Android apps for Pixlr-O-Matic. But I just really hadn't found this combination of things on the web in such a creative way as this Pixlr-O-Matic. So I thought you might want to check that out as well.
Very nice. I have played with it in the past, but it looks like they've done some significant upgrading since then. So I'm going to have to try that again. Mm-hmm. All right. My pick is for all of you Android users. I know that the Android market is growing leaps and bounds is some of the statistics that I'm seeing, and one of the things that you lose or had lost in the past with Android that the iOS 5 on the iPhone and iPad had provided was something called iMessage. Well, my pick is called Mighty Text, and it's and they've kind of branded it iMessage for Android users. So basically, it's text messaging, and they've got kind of a different spin on it. So it brings text messaging to your computer or your tablet, if you want to use your tablet to do this. So normally, when you text message, you got to use your phone. And if you've got the fat thumbs I have, that's a very painful process sometimes, especially if you're doing longer texts. So this allows you to install a Chrome extension that you have to use Chrome for this that allows you to connect your computer and your phone so that you can send text messages either way. So that when I send a text on my phone, it appears in the app on the computer, or when I'm on the computer, I open up the Mighty Text app, and when I have the same exact view. I have all my texts. Well, I text the whole conversation kind of in the bubble things like you see in iOS. You know, they respond and you respond, the back and forth conversation. Mm-hmm. I see that right on my screen. You can attach images. One good thing is and there are other apps that do this. But one of their challenges is you have to have a different phone number. This, you use your same Android phone number. So that doesn't need to change because, for instance, Google Voice allows this, but you have to use the Google Voice text number or phone number. Another thing is that anything that happens on your phone, whether it be an SMS or text message or even a phone call, you get notified on your computer screen as it comes in. So if you don't have your phone nearby, you left it in the next room or it's on vibrate and you don't always feel the vibration, it will have a little pop-up in the upper right of your screen, as long as your browser is open, that, hey, you've got a phone incoming call, or you have a text message, and you can choose to ignore it, or you can answer it. You can answer it on your phone or respond via the text right on the computer where you don't even need the phone. So you can see who's calling you, so you got the voice ID or caller ID, and obviously you can see who's texting you too. So this is free, 100% free, and works. Have you been using it for about 3 or 4 weeks now? And I have not had any problems with it. Just a great, great app. So that's Mighty Text.
All right. Android users are happy now. So
they
that's
are.
A good thing.
This is
all
a big right. deal. And these are ex-Googlers who put this together. So they kind of get the whole Google experience. So
cool.
Let's move on to we have something else?
Nope. We have community feedback to share. We are needing to move on because we have a long list. Hopefully my voice will hold out for it.
That's your 4:30 in the morning voice.
First up on the list is a tweet from my friend Martin Spriggs. He shared a link called Why Crowded Coffee Shops Fire Up Your Creativity.
This is
so are you hanging out at Starbucks these days, Martin?
Interesting article. I don't spend a lot of time in coffee shops, but I do believe the premise of this article is that if you're around other people and there's chatter and there's, you know, kind of background noise versus complete isolation or solitude, it encourages you to be more productive and more creative is their hypothesis. And I guess I get that. And one of the reasons that a lot of, you know, the startup companies and even companies in general are going to a more of an open environment rather than walled offices is because of this fact. And I get that. I think there is value in interaction. There's value in kind of being around other people. And you might think that would be more of a distraction than anything else, but it turns out to be the opposite. So take a look at this blog post. It's from The Atlantic, and you know, they have scientific studies to back this up too, but I think there is, my personal experience suggests that this might be true.
Cool. Another tweet that's worth mentioning, it had a Wells Tech hashtag, and that is that Gail Potratz worshipped with us in Sleepy Eye this week, but she did it via our live video stream. So mm-hmm. We appreciate you joining us, Gail. The thing that I wanted to mention this far was because as she was typing, apparently her autocorrect and probably a tiny keyboard on a small screen helped her out. And instead of appreciating our live stream of video, she wrote our love steam. So I just want everybody to know, all you Wells Techers out there that follow our tweets, that there is no love steam going on in Sleepy Eye. But I can so relate to Gail and the tiny keyboard and autocorrect thing. Boy, I've made those kind of mistakes before. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we need to look into love steam. I don't know what that is.
But I'm not going to go there.
Anyway,
right now.
Thought it was funny.
I'm not going there.
Next up, Digo Links, and we had a couple of infographics shared. The Millennial Impact Report 2012, it's titled. It's a pretty short little infographic, but it is how do you prefer to learn about nonprofits and what kind of interface do you want to use? You know, do you want to hear about their cool events? Do you want to hear it on Facebook versus email versus e-newsletters? How many people that nonprofits want to communicate with have smartphones to receive this kind of stuff electronically? So I think some good information shared here. It's the Millennial Impact Report. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also shared via Digo is a link to PIX for Learning. That's PIC, the number 4, learning.com.
P-I-C-S.
And this is a website
yes.
crammed full of all kinds of free imagery, specifically for use by teachers and students. And it's copyright friendly for those kind of settings. You can use it for classrooms, multimedia projects, websites, videos, portfolios, any project in any educational setting. But beyond the classroom, they do draw the line with copyright requirements and things. But definitely a great site to bookmark for teachers, and a site that you could be comfortable sharing with your students and knowing that there aren't going to be any copyright infringements if they make use of these images.
Good stuff.
That one was from our friend Jason Schmidt. So thanks, Jason, for that link.
Yep.
Then our friend Martin Spriggs had a few Digo links to share as well.
I was busy. One is a blog post from The Innovative Educator, a friendly guide to deploying iPads at your school. I know a lot of our schools are beginning to think, you know, maybe tablets are the way to go. We've talked with a few of them, even on the show. One of the big problems with deploying iPads at your school is administration. How do you get them all set up? It's one thing to set up one, but if you've got a class full of them or a cart full or whatever it is, that is a pain. But fortunately, Apple's gotten smart and has figured out that there needs to be some administration tools so that you can do multiples at a time and keep them all in sync. And that's what this article walks you through. A very nice step-by-step about kind of demystifying that whole thing. I can't say that it's super easy to do, but this guide really helps. So that was the first one. The second one is from one of my favorite blogs, Church Marketing Sucks. And this is a blog entitled Reaching the Unplugged. And I really enjoyed this. I passed it along to the ministry team at our church because you know, we in the tech world think, well, technology is the place to be. Everybody has a web browser, everybody checks their email. And this blog post challenges that, and I think rightly so, that not everybody is technically connected like we are. So to send out an email and expect everybody's checking nightly or more, you know, twice a day or whatever is a fallacy. To expect that somebody visits your website on any regular basis is not true. true. So you have to account for those people that are kind of unplugged. How do you deal with them? If you really want to go technological on them, they're going to miss out. So to go with an e-newsletter, for instance, and expect that your communication is not going to dip a little bit, you should not be so naive. So this is a great article on some of those considerations and ways to accommodate those who are essentially unplugged. And they do make the point that, you know, people mistakenly think that the unplugged are, you know, the over 70 crowd, and that's not necessarily true either. So take a read. This is a good post.
They might be more plugged than we think.
Yeah,
I wonder if they did that research and sleepy eye. Okay, moving on. LinkedIn had an interesting article in the N Wells group on LinkedIn. It was shared by Diane Lohr, and it's called 11 Ways to Bore the Boots Off Your Readers. And obviously, that's not what you want to do. So these are things to avoid if you are a blogger.
Yeah.
And I think it's really well done. It's got a lot of good examples and things as to the definite pitfalls that you see blogging falling into. Check this out if you're a regular blogger.
We've had Diane on the show, haven't we? Designer out in Watertown area, I want to say, someplace out there.
Yeah, a digital designer.
Cool. Thanks, Diane.
All right. And then finally, over on our Wells Tech listserv, the question was posed by Joshua Johnson, looking for tracking athletic stats on his iPad, and a recommendation if anyone's doing that kind of thing. And he got a couple of responses, both from Lakeside Lutheran High School as well as Luther High School, and they both pointed to the same tool. It's called Digital Scout. And Ted Klug from Lakeside says, "We use Digital Scout here at Lakeside, and most of their iPad apps are free to use completely. You have to pay them for the uploading and storage of stats. We have used them for many years for basketball, volleyball, and football. We just gave them a call to make the move over for softball and baseball as well. We've been very pleased with them. We have students take the stats on their iPhone or iPod Touch and then upload the stats. We also own various iPads and iPod Touches and use them when the manager or statistician does not have the device." They just last year also unveiled their Android apps as well. I've not extensively played with them, but I did download it to my phone. And the web address is digitalscout.com. So excellent feedback. I just was struck that there must be an app for everything under the sun. I would have never guessed that there was one for tracking stats, but it makes a lot of sense.
Very good. Appreciate that. That listserv just continues to amaze me, Sally. It's you ask a question, and if you don't have three or four answers by the end of the day, that's an unusual day. So that's a great, great resource. So I'm just looking on our mind map here under our section entitled Next Week, and I don't see anything that we're doing next week. I think we're having a show. Do you remember
we decided to do 7 Best next week. It'll be the 4th of July, our first show in July, and we are going to be doing webmaster resources for our 7 Best
That's
list.
That's it. What would I do without you? So there will be a next week.
I think we back each other up very well.
There will be a next week. You know, my wife would attest to the fact that my memory is pathetic, and without this mind map and my calendar, I wouldn't either show up or know what to talk about. So, but I'm here. So let's close this. Thank you, Sally, for everything that you do with community feedback, especially. You are the one that puts all of that stuff together, and we had a ton of it this week. If you'd like to contribute to the show, wellstech.wells.net, just look across the top right of the screen and hover your mouse over all those icons and pick the way that you'd like to communicate with us. It can be email, can be over Digo, can be Twitter, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Those are all options for you. Kevin Larish is our artist of the week, and we're going to listen to his song When Love Is Found. I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye. That two are one.
praise God and share our Maker's joy. When love is tried, as loved ones change, hold still to hope, though all be strange, till ease returns and love grows wise through listening ears and opened eyes. When love is torn and trust betrayed, pray strength to love till torments fade.